This week is Parshas Kisisa. Parshas Kisisa has in it many different parshias. Most yadua amongst them is the parsha of the Chet HaEgel, the story of the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf. It's also Parshas Parah. It's also the week that we lay in Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah is about the Parah Aduma that they used to purify people who were Tomei Meis. The Parsha of Parah Aduma and the Parsha of Tumas Meis is in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, and that's what we're going to lay in for Maftir. That's going to be our Maftir this week, Parshas Parah. It's the third of the four Parshas. Next week is Parshas HaChodesh, which is the fourth one. Four parshiyos, the Dalet parshiyos, are not a haphazard group of parshiyos that we learn from Rosh Chodesh Adar until Pesach, but there's a certain seder of the Dalet parshiyos, and each one of those parshiyos injects into the nefesh of a yid necessary ingredients that he needs to prepare himself for Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the next big event that we're preparing ourselves for. There's Yerushalmi that says that although sometimes between Parshas Zachar and Parshas Parah there's a Shabbos in between, like this year. This year between Parshas Shkolim and Parshas Zachar there was a Shabbos in between. But between Parshas Parah and Parshas HaChodesh it's impossible that there should be a Shabbos in between. Parshas Parah is always immediately preceding Parshas HaChodesh. And the Yerushalmi says a simon to remember it, is that we have Dalet Kaisis by the Pesach Seder. And we know that although you can drink other Kaisis in between the first and second, or the second and third, but between the third and fourth, you can't drink any other Kaisis. The third and fourth are Ratzuf to each other. So just like by the four cups of the Seder, you can't drink other wine between the third and fourth cup, so too, by the Parshias, by the four Parshias, there's no Shabbos that interrupts, that's Mafsik, between Parshas Parah and Parshas HaChodesh. And the Sfarim point out that obviously, if the Heilige Yerushalmi says a Remez, it means that there's a connection between the two. And I don't know what the explanation is why there can't be a separation between Parah and Chodesh. But just to understand that the four kaisis have what to do with the four parshiyos, we know that the four kaisis represent the four different ways that Hashem expressed His plan to take us out of Egypt. V'hitzeisi, v'hitzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti. Those are the four l'shaynas of Gula. I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you, and I will take you. I'll take you to be my nation. And connected that are the four Lashainas. Zaktis Farim that the four Lashainas, the four Shabbosis are also connected Vahitsesi, Vihitzalti, Vigoalti, Vilokachti, Parsha Shkolin connected Vahitsesi, and Parsha Zachar connected Vihitzalti, and Parsha Parah connected Vigoalti, and Parsha Zachidish connected Vilokachti. And they go further to say that if you examine the four Lashainas of Gula, the first three represent leaving evil, and the last one represents being Nichnas, entering the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's domain, Hashem's domain. I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you, is all from the forces of evil, from Ra, it's from Mitzrayim. The Lokachti, I will take you to be my nation, is no longer referring to taking out of a problem. I take something, you redeem something when it's trapped, you save someone when they're in trouble, you take something out from somewhere else, but you don't necessarily take something from somewhere else. V'lokachti is a positive thing, and I will take you to raise you higher to be my nation. There's a difference, it's important to realize, the difference between the first three Lashainas, that they're a Yitzia from, And the last one, of Ilokhti, that it's a Lekicha too. So too, say the Svarim, so too the four Parshias. And we know that there are three main bad midas that a person has: Hakina, Hataiva, and Hakovid. Hakina, jealousy, anger, killing, aggressiveness, that's kina. Taiva is taiva, the desires of the body, the desires of a person, it's taiva. And kovid is a person's wanting honor, or gaiva, gasas aruach, that's kovid. Hakina, hataiva, hakovid. After, and we're not going to go into now how Parsha Shkolim is a haitzah from kina, and Parsha Zachar is a haitzah from taiva, and Parsha Zachidish is a haitzah, Parsha Parah is a haitzah from kovid, from those three main bad midas. But after a person gets out from those three, then he's able to go to the high madrega of Parshas HaChodesh, which is already going into Nisan, into the month of Geula, Benisa Nigalu, Benisa Asidin Ligoel, the month of Geula, and to be taken by the Rabbeinu Shalom. Okay, Adkan I'm not going to talk about tonight. That's not tonight's Chavur is about. I'm just bringing it up, bringing it out, to point out that the Tahalich, the travel, the walk through the four parashiyas is a process of growth of the neshama. It's not just a custom that we read this and this week and we read this and this week. It's an experience that the Jewish soul experiences different things that save it and are matzal it and goyal it from different midas rois, and that are mala it and bring it up and bring it into the midas of kedusha. That's the four parashiyas. And avada, without, we don't even have to say it, we know without saying it, that every single pasuk of every single one of the parshas that we lay has something to do with the inyan of that parsha, has something to do with the hatzalah of that week. Without any exception at all, the Hashem's plan is perfect, and the minhagim of Klal Yisrael are perfect, and every single pasuk that we read, every single one of those weeks, it has to do with the parsha of the week, and it has to do with exactly what Klal Yisrael needs that week, and the ma'ir of what's happening that week. Everything is interrelated, that we know without understanding why. We just know because of our emunah and our bitachin in the shleimus and absolute perfection of Torah, that that's the case. I want to focus on one pasuk in Parshas Chukas, and this pasuk sends vibrations throughout all the things that have to do with the whole inyan of Parshas Parah. And we'll touch on some of those things, but even Kishehu L'atzma, it's a chashuv pasuk to talk about. So I want to talk about one pasuk with one question, and whatever, maybe we'll be able to smell along the way how much it's nageya and connected and interconnected to the whole process of the growth of the Yiddish and Neshama. In Parshas Chukas, when the Pesukim are discussing the din of Tumas Meis, one of the dinim of Tumas Meis, of the impurity from a dead person, is the Tumah called Tumas Oyel. Tumas Oyel is that if somebody dies in an enclosed area, so that entire enclosed area becomes impure. That's why Kohanim are careful not to go into hospitals sometimes, not to go under a tree that goes over a kever. Any enclosed area that has a dead person in it, or a kezayis menames, it becomes tameh. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis as follows. The pasuk says, Zoi sa Torah Adam ki yomos ba'oyel. This is the Torah of a person who dies in the tent. Which is interesting, it's not common, it does happen sometimes, it's not common that it should say, as an introduction to a parsha, this is the Torah. The whole Torah is the Torah. It does come up, occasionally, Zayis Torah HaNazir, it says, we have in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, Zayis Chukas HaTorah, it does come up occasionally, but it's a rare thing, and there's Zokti Gemara like this, Zokti Gemara, and we see from this pasuk, Zayis HaTorah Adam Ki Yomos Ba'ayel, She'ein Divrei Torah Miskaymen, that Divrei Torah are not established, do not remain, Ela b'misha meimis atzmai oleho, only in someone who kills himself for it. So it says, this is the Torah, a person who dies in a tent. That teaches you that if you want to have the Torah, this is the Torah, you have to be meimis atzmai, to kill himself, oleho, for the words of Torah. So the obvious question is a definition. What does it mean we have to kill ourselves? We know that the highest ideal in Torah and in Yiddishkeit is life. V'chai bohem. Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim bo. Ki heim chayenu v'orech yomeinu. What does it mean that we should kill ourselves? That's first of all. And second of all, if you like, how does this come in here, middle of the discussion of the impurity of someone who dies? Because you have to kill yourself, so it has to do with dying. It seems like it was very convenient to use those words. We know that there's got to be much more. If the Torah included in the parsha of Tumas Meis, the Indian of Meimis Atzmel Divrei Torah, there's got to be some inherent connection between the concept of Tumas Meis and the concept of Meimis Atzmel Divrei Torah. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay, let's say over the Yesaidis that we've said so many times and we have to keep chazering, the Yesaidis about the Chet of Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan was created perfect. A guf and a neshama, a body and a soul, both of them, kulay aymer kadosh, both of them kedoshim, both of them toiv, there was no evil mixed in at all, there was no ra, there was no kayach ra mixed in at all. The kayach ra in the world, there was a kayach ra in the world, it existed, and it was an outside force that's called the nachash, the snake. It was an outside force, it wasn't something within the guf of Adam Rishon. Both his neshama and his guf were both completely focused on being mekayim the ratzon Hashem, on doing Hashem's will. That was before Adam Rishon did the chet. Then Adam Rishon ate from the eitz hadas tov ra, and that concept of ra, the concept of badness, of evil, was nichnas into the guf of Adam Rishon. That's what the Rishonim say, that now Adam Rishon has within himself, inside of himself, he has a neshama that's mishtaikik, that desires, that looks forward to Taiv, that wants to become closer to Hashem, and he has a guf, a body, that wants to distance itself and find every opportunity to make a mechitzas and divisions between it and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Exactly what the nekuda over there that's ra, we spoke about once before. Is there a malach that's the Yetzahara? Is it actually the body? We discovered that it's both. A letter from Rabbi Yisrael and an explanation from Rabbi Avigdor Miller. That we're not going to get into tonight, but tonight we're just going to discuss it as a kloliastic concept that with the chet of Adam Arishan, the ra was nichnas into the guf of a person. Okay, now we have to realize that we know that if Adam Rishon had not done his chait, he would have lived forever. He would have been chai lametzach, he would have lived forever. And because he did the chait, it was niknas all of Misa, he got, one of the punishments was Misa, ofar ata, the Allah ofar tashuv, it was niknas all of Misa. And it's important to understand that it's not a coincidental punishment that he did the chait, and it was ra was nichnas into his guf, ra entered his guf, and also in addition to that, a terrible thing happened, and now he was nigza that he's not going to live forever, and he's going to become a bar misa. The two things are mamish zetoli bazeh, a guf that has ra inside of it is oimid to misa. Afar ata. Well, Adam didn't know that he was Afar. He didn't know that he came from the ground. He was like, oh, I'm Ofer, I didn't know. Ofer Ata means that because of the Chait, you became more Afrius, like you became more Gashmi, more distance from Ruchnius. Now, it happened now. Ofer Ata. And therefore, Ve'el Ofer Tashav. Because the more distance from Hashem something is, the less connected he is to the source of life. And since he ate from the Eitz Hadas, and Ra was Nichnas inside of him, and Ra is the opposite of what the Ratzon Hashem is, he distanced himself from the Ratzon Hashem, he distanced himself from the Rabbeinu Shalom, and Misa comes into the world. The way the Maral says it is that only when something is a complete shidduch does it last forever. When the guf and the neshama fit perfectly together, so then they were able to live forever. But after the guf has ra inside of it now it's not a perfect shidduch with the neshama anymore. It's not completely shalim, and if it's not completely shalim, eventually at some point they're going to separate. Only when two things can bond together perfectly do they never separate. But if that connection is not perfect because the guf is on a lower level, it's lower quality, it has ra mixed in, so the connection can't be permanent.
Wasn't there
seven things
we never
sinned? Yeah.
Why did they die?
The Itav Shanachash. What? Because they came from Adam who had sinned.
Itav Shanachash?
Yeah. People who went up to Shemayim without dying.
Who?
Eliyahu.
Eliyahu? Yaakov.
Yaakov.
Okay, so now we understand a little bit more about the Chet of Adam Arishan and the result of the Chet of Adam Arishan, that therefore there is Misa. So now let's understand, just based on what we have, what we know now, we already have a little bit of an insight to know that the whole concept of Tumas Meis, and the whole necessity for a Parah Aduma is all because of the Chet of Adam Arishan. So when we sit on Parashas Parah and we listen to the Kriyas HaTorah of the Parah Aduma, the Halachas of the Parah Aduma, and then the Dinim of Tumas Meis, we know right away we're talking about these are the results of the Chet of Adam Arishan. Okay. That's first of all. Beis. There were two sets of luchas, and that's in Parshas Kisisa. There were two sets of luchas. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him luchas, which he brought down. And when he saw the Klal Yisrael did the egel, he broke them. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu thanked him. It was the right thing to do. Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yodai, I think it's the Lashon of Chazal. Yasher Koichach Asher Shibarta. And after Klal Yisrael did Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to bring two more stones up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Luchas on the new stones. So there are luchas rishonis, and there are luchas shniyas.
Moshe write the second luchas?
Moshe formed the second luchas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote them. I believe.
Yeah.
The first Haftia luchas is finished. Haftia luchas eis hadvarim asher hoyu al rishonim asher shibarta. Psalucha is to form them. To bang them out. Okay, let's just point out, we have to understand, it's a very important thing to lay down the foundations of understanding the difference between the Luchas Rishonis and the Luchas Shnias, which is a tremendous subject. I don't think we've talked about it much over here. And I want to point out two differences between Luchas Rishonis and Luchas Shnias, and hope that over this year we should be able to at least understand those two differences. The first one is that the Luchas Rishonis, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have to find or cut out stones. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the stones. Ma'aseh Elokim Heima. They were the work of Hashem, completely, from beginning to end. The Luchas were completely Ma'aseh Elokim. The second Luchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, P'sol Lecha Shnei Luchas Avonim Karishainim. Form for yourself, make for yourself two luchas. So that's one difference. It's a different process. That the first luchas HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed, and the second luchas Moshe Rabbeinu formed. And another difference is something that we find, I think, in the Gemara, that it says that if the luchas Rishonis would have never been broken, we would never forget anything that we learned. It would be no shikha. We would never forget anything that we learned. And it's only because the first luchas are broken that the concept of forgetting what we learn exists. That's before he got it. Okay, that was Beis. Now let's understand. We said that before the chait of Adam reached, Adam was kulay toiv. It's completely toiv. There was no ra inside the Adam. Adam was kulay toiv. The Torah is also kulay toiv. Ki lekach toiv nosati lachem, tairasi al tazoiv. The Torah is completely toiv. The Torah is not a mixture of toiv and ra. The Torah is completely toiv. Ki lekach toiv nosati lachem. Completely toiv. When Adam Arishan is in a situation that he's completely toiv, he's a kli muchan to be makabel the kedusha of Torah and the oir of Torah. He's muchan for it. He's kulay toiv, and the Torah is kulay toiv. It's a perfect shidduch, and the Torah rests perfectly on the Adam. After the chet, when the guf of an Adam is ra, so now he's no longer a perfect shidduch with the Torah. The Torah is a little bit out of his grasp, because the Torah is kulay toiv, and he has a mechitza. He has ra mixed in. It's not a perfect shidduch. The only way that a person could be in a situation that's called the divrei Torah are miskaimim, that the divrei Torah could reside within him, that divrei Torah could become part of him, is if somehow he's mashbis, he brings the guf back under the shlita of the seichel. I'm gonna go off the topic here for a minute, just because there are two similar things that we discussed over the last few weeks, and I'm gonna use them as mishalim to explain what I mean now. We discussed the B'shas Matan Torah. Klal Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma. We discussed it a while ago. Nasa before Nishma, we said that means that there's no mechitza, the guf is not being chaitzitz. Whatever the person hears, he's right away able to be mekayim. And we said, there's a lot of things in that Indian that are connected over here. I just want to bring out one point. We said that when Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'Nishma, they got two crowns on their heads. So we see that somehow saying Nasa before Nishma elevated Klal Yisrael to some type of Malchus. A Melech wears a crown. Some type of Malchus. That's Aleph. I'll go back to that in a second. Vase, we spoke about the Machtus HaShekel. Machtus HaShekel, we said that a person's neshama always wants to serve the Rabbi Nishalayim. But his guf, this is Mamash our discussion today, his guf is rachik from serving the Rabbi Nishalayim. And we said that giving the Machtus HaShekel, a person giving from his coins, from his money, from his gashmi, is giving from that to the Beis HaMikdash, is giving over his koiches haguf to Kedusha. Giving Machtus HaShekel, that's this week's parasha, is called, the Machtus HaShekel is the first parasha in this week's parasha, the first thing we read about is the Machtus HaShekel, is called Kisisa Es Roish B'nei Yisrael, which we understand to mean when you count Klal Yisrael. When you count Klal Yisrael, you should count them by collecting half shekels. But that's not what the words mean. The words mean Kisisa, when you lift, as Roish B'nei Yisrael, when you lift the heads of Klal Yisrael. What does it mean when you... Why is counting called lifting the heads of Klal Yisrael? And the pshat is because when a person reaches a point that his guf becomes a servant to his neshama, his guf just exists to serve the needs of his neshama. Just the neshama can't be Mekayim Mitzvahs. A person needs a guf to be a keli with which to do his Avodas Hashem. So there's a situation of malchus there. That his seichel, his das, his neshama is a melech, and his evarim are subservient to that malchus. When each thing is doing its own thing, it's shtei malachim, it's shalish malachim, every single midorah is another melech, there's nobody in control. But when a person's neshama is in control, and his guf is just there for to serve the purpose of his neshama, that's malchus. Ki sisa es roish b'nei Yisrael. You lift the head. What's the head? The head, what resides in the head? The seichel, the das, the neshama of a person. Ki sisa es roish b'nei Yisrael. That's giving Machtus HaShekel. That's making the kaychus of the guf subservient to the needs of the neshama. It's lifting up the head. That's what the Sfarim say, a difference in the way that a human being stands and the way that an animal stands. We mentioned this before. An animal, his body is flat. His head is on the same level. Most animals, their head are on the same level as the rest of their bodies, as a rule. A cow, a horse, they're horizontal. There's no kisisa es roish. The roish is not the manhig of the evarim of the animal. It's a davar gashmi. And Adam has a kaima. Adam has a kaima. There's a head on top, and all the evarim are underneath, are subservient to that head which is on top. That's the malchus of the das, of the rosh. And that's why when Klal Yisrael said Nasa before Nishma, which represents that their guf is not chaitzitz, that their guf is not a misnagi, it doesn't have a mind of its own over here, there was zeicha to two crowns that go on the head and represent malchus. This is, I'm bringing that in because it's relevant over here, and it's just being mashlim things that we discussed over the last few weeks. That's the pshat, that in order to be zeichet to Torah, which is kulay toiv, a person has to bring his guf to be subservient to his neshama. A person has to bring as much as possible. As much as is possible, a person has to bring his guf back to the matzav of Adam before the chet of toiv. It's not naturally that way. Before the chet, it was naturally that way. It's not naturally that way, and it's impossible in this lifetime to do it to perfection. But the goal over a lifetime is to try as much as possible to ingrain in the guf the desire to serve Hashem. Is that my body should want to serve Hashem and should be subservient to the needs of my neshama, and not hefker, but my das should rule. And then Divrei Torah, which is Kulay Toiv, could reside within me. Because then the Lekach Toiv is a good Shidduch with the Guf and the Neshama, which together are also Toiv. And that's how the Maral explains this din.
Adam
Upirish davar zeh. Now this means ki hatayra hi sichlis. Behaadam baal guf chamri. Be'ein tzofe ki haseichel v'haguf hafeichim misnagdim zeh zeh. They're two opposites and they're again, they're anti each other. The seichel and the guf. The guf is pulling in one direction, the seichel is pulling in another direction. He goes on to say, I mean, he says it in his specific signa, in his specific lashon. That only when a person, you have to see the whole arichos there, it's in two places, but this maral is on the Mishnah of Kachi Darka Shal Teira Pas B'melech Teicha, in the sixth parak in Ovis. That only when a person makes that his guf is a tuffle to his neshama, his guf is a tuffle to his seichel, then the Torah could be miskayim b'soichei. That's the meimis atzmai olayo. We don't know what it means yet, but that's why you need it. We don't know how to do it yet, but that's why you need it. Okay. That we'll see. But for now, it just means weakening the koyach guf. Rav Dessler talks in the second chelik of Michtam Eliyahu. He talks a little bit about the Luchas Rishonis and the Luchas Shneis, and sprinkled throughout those pages, you'll find the Yesodis there that I'm mentioning tonight. And he brings a Radvaz, and the Radvaz says that the Luchas represent the heart of a Yid. The luchas represent the lev. Ksoiv aluach libecha. The lev is also called a luach. He says the luchas represent the heart of a yid. He says like this. Bishas matan Torah, we said this last time, at the time of matan Torah, Klal Yisrael reached the point of Adam Arishon before the chet. Paskazu Hamas, and they were on the Madrega. At the time that Klal Yisrael stood by Har Sinai, they were on the Madrega of Adam before the Chet. There was no longer any Ra inside of them. And at that point, the Torah and the Yid were a perfect Shidduch. The Yid, which was Kuloi Toiv, and the Torah, which is Kilekach Toiv Nosati Luchem, were a perfect Shidduch. That means that the Yid does not need to do anything to be Meichin himself, to be Makabal the Torah. It's perfect. It clicks perfectly together. There's no Tanai necessary. That's how we explain the Nasa before Nishma. There's nothing necessary. He doesn't have to work on himself, work it out. He doesn't have to doesn't need that. It fits perfect. The Torah fits perfect with the Yid. That's what it means that the Luchas came straight from Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to fashion them. He didn't have to be making them. They were just there. B'li hachana. They were there. Without having to do any Tanai Kaidan Lamaisa, without any hachana. But after Klal Yisrael did the ego, Moshe Rabbeinu had to break these luchas. Klal Yisrael weren't on this madrega anymore, that the lev could be mekabel without any hachana. The second luchas are psal lecha. You have to form them. You have to carve them out. And this is a remez to the fact that what we just spoke about Mamemis Atmei, a person has to make himself roy to be Makabal the Torah now. Now this Tov and Ra mixed into a person. Now a person has to make himself a Kli that's able to be Makabal the Torah. And this is the whole process that we discussed about Musar last time, of Yodata Hayom, V'Hashevoisa El Levavecha, the whole process of V'Hashevoisa El Levavecha, to make the heart absorb Torah. It's a whole Avoida. It's a whole process. It doesn't happen by itself. Without the Chet Ego, we would have the Yodata Hayom, it would immediately absorb to V'Hashevoisa El Levavecha. That's when you have a Kulay Tov, when the Nishama is Tov and the Guf is Tov. But when you have an irvuv of tayva ra, after the chetrega, the Klal Yisrael sunk back down to the madrega of acharachet, and now the guf is misnaged, there's mechitzas, there's gashmias, there's being pulled in the other direction. So then you have to psal lecha shnei lucha. You want me to write the Torah on the luchas? The Torah doesn't get written on your heart so easily. The Torah doesn't get v'ashivayse elav avecha charos al haluchas. It doesn't get inscribed, engraved in your heart so easily. You have to work on that heart. You have to work hard on it. Yigia amelus la'asik v'divrei Torah. It takes work until it becomes part of the person. That's the remez that the second luchas was psal lecha. So I want to do three angles. One of them, the last one that I'm going to say, is mamash, I think, a mavel de kechidish, in understanding of meimis atzmei olea, and each of these things are things that we can think about how to implement in our own lives. The first thing is something that the Maral says. The Maral says, Meimis Atzmei al Divrei Torah does not mean, he says, that a person, let's say he's a very wealthy person, very wealthy man, and he lives in a mansion, he should stop being so wealthy, he should stop living well, he should go out on a hut, and he should learn in a hut, Torah, starving, you know, Yom HaLaila. That's not what it means. He says it means that if that's the only way that he's going to be able to be kind of Torah, then he's willing to give it up for that. In other words, it's not a tonight that you have to give up. You have to give up your lifestyle for Torah. That's not what Meimis Atzmei al Divrei Torah means. Meimis Atzmei al Divrei Torah means that what's in charge? Is the neshama in charge or is the guf in charge? How do I know what's in charge? What's going to give up for what? In other words, sometimes a person has to go out to a yeshiva. He's more comfortable at home. A person has to, you know, living in a dorm or living in a yeshiva, sometimes is pashut less comfortable than living at home. Lamashal, Amo Yidden used to leave America, you know, Gedalia Shore and there, you know, many others. They used to leave America and travel to Europe to learn in the European yeshivas. After they grew up, you know, relatively speaking, compared to mere Poland, growing up in New York was growing up in the lap of luxury, and they would leave it to learn in the mir, not because b'shita they didn't want to have electricity or plumbing in their house, but because if that's the way I'm going to get Torah, then that's the only way. Then I have to do it. If I can learn Torah without it, then that's okay. Again, we're not out to destroy the guf. But meimis atzmei al divrei Torah means that I'm willing. I realize that my first priority and the most important thing is that I be a talmid chacham. Is that I be loymed Torah. That's the most important thing. And if push comes to shove, my guf is going to have to go before my neshama. It's more a question of priority. For us living here in America today, it has very little halacha l'maisa. But it has very much halacha. Because it's a question of priorities. Am I living a gashmiyazdika life in addition to learning? Or am I living a gashmiyazdika life calls man, it doesn't interfere with my learning. But of course, the most important focus is my learning. Many times our gashmiyazdika life assists our learning and helps us be in a comfortable enough situation that we're able to learn better. But the point is, what's the melech? Kisisa esroish b'nei Yisrael. What's the melech? Who's sacrificing for who? Is the guf sacrificing for the neshama, or is the neshama sacrificing the guf? That's meimis atzmei al divrei Torah. That's one mahalach. I have to mention that I never saw this anywhere, but for years it strikes me. It's almost like boilet. When I point it out, you'll see how boilet it is. The misa that we're talking about is a misa that creates shleimus. Because Kolzman, my guf has toiv and ra mixed in, it's not shalim. But when I emamis my guf, when I mashbis the ra of my guf, when I destroy, or I make smaller, I, you know, the ra of my guf, So now I'm more shalem, this toiv and this toiv. It's a better more shalem. It's very, very hard for me to shake the similarity of Zois HaTorah Adam Ki Yomos Ba'oyel and V'Yakov Ish Tam Yoshev Oyholim. Tam, switch the words around, mace. I don't think I ever saw this anywhere, but it almost jumps out at you. Yaakov ish tam yoshev ayalim, zois ha'tayra adam ki yamos ba'ayel. It's the same pasuk. Because the yamos ba'ayel creates that matzav of tam. That creates that shlemus. Secondly, we have the words of the Chazon Ish. Spoke about them a few weeks ago. This piece that I'm talking about. Ki haloy amru, the third letter in Kovetz Igros Chazon Ish. Ki haloy amru ein divrei Torah miskaymen ella b'misha meimis atzmai olehu. Hamisa shebekan, Nashi. Hamisa shebekan. What's this misa? He hanetia mipshutai shalachayim. Is turning away, separating yourself from simple life. It's death is saying goodbye to life. Zakta Chazon Ish, death could be saying goodbye to simple life and joining a deeper, more fulfilling life. Person could say, before I came to yeshiva, I lived a certain life. And when I walked into the walls of the yeshiva, the old me died. And in its place was a new living person. Memes atzmai al divrei Torah. The pshutei shel chayim, the life that I had before, is non-existent, that life. I channeled my koichos and my talents and everything properly. I'm not talking about the strange personality changes. But in terms of the level, the depth, the color of my life, misa mipshutei shel hachayim, le'oimkei shel hachayim, to the depth of life, le'toich toichei shel hachayim, into the inside of what real life is, kol sheha adam, and this is the second angle, kol sheha adam marbe b'shviras hamidos marbe chayim. The more a person increases, he's changing his midas, polishing his midas, breaking the midas in their negative haifa, and the way they exist in him negatively, and channeling them properly. Ki shviras hamidas. Shviras hamidas means making the person's midas subservient to the Ratzon Hashem. Right? We know that there's no such a thing as a bad midah. You don't destroy a midah. You channel a midah. When we say break a midah, we mean to break the hefkeiros, the apikursos of the midah. We mean to break it in. We don't mean to break it. We mean to break it in like you break in a new baseball glove. You don't break it. You break it in. That's Shviras Hamidus. Ki Shviras Hamidus hi harigas achayim ha-shidchim. It's killing simple life. Umisa shel hayeter, it's the death of the Yetzirah. Hamemale kol haguf, which fills the whole guf. He's here, sounds like our discussion tonight. Misa shel hayeter, hamemale kol haguf. Hu hachayim hamoylech bedarka shel Torah. Midais ham mushchasais rabbis heina. There are many bad midas. Behem atzmayu b'saray shal ha'adam. They are the basar, the flesh, the guf of a person. Behamemis achas mehem. Someone who kills one of his the apikursus, the hefkerus of one of his bad midas. Hemis es atzmay. He killed himself. The amna misa zu, this death, techaye ba'aleho. It brings its owner. The person who died is only more alive. It's a death that brings a person to life. The divrei Torah miskaimim biyodei. That's the Chazon Ish. Angle number two. Refining my midas, directing my midas, understanding myself well enough to know how to express my midas in a harmonious fashion, knowing how to live myself with myself, and how the different parts of myself express themselves properly to feed the Ratzon Hashem. We were created to serve Hashem, and that means that every midah inside of us has a proper expression in the service of Hashem. There's no such a thing as a part of us that Avodas Hashem does not satisfy. We just have to be creative and intelligent and work hard, and it takes sometimes a month, a year, a decade, or a lifetime. That's the second. So the first one is priorities. Ruchnius has priority over Gashmius. The second thing is Tikkun HaMidas. A deeper life. My old life. The old me is dead. Because the new me is the new, more alive, more sensitive, more into the Pnimius HaChaim is now in his place. A third Mahalach, a third angle. This is a concept that Alter von Kalm writes about. It's page Kuf in Chachmo Mazur Chelek Aleph. You have to read page Tzadi Galef and Tzadi Beis to understand page Kuf, in case you look it up. And here he says a pshat, an ein divrei Torah miskaim elo b'mi shemeim esatzmo eleha, that to me is such an edelkeit, such a fine, it's such a dakus, that it's fascinating and exhilarating to be oimed on. He has a concept. It's amazing how much chachma is packed into a few words of the sefer. It's amazing. Concept that we're going to call the concept of hashrasha hakaduma. The concept of hashrasha hakaduma. What's rooted first. Hashrasha milosh shayrish hakaduma, that's first. And the concept is like this. Let me explain to you what this concept is. Reuven and Shimon go to a chasana. And they go out a couple of hours, they come back later, and they get back to yeshiva. And Reuven walks over to you and says, you know what happened? This and this and this and this and this happened. And Shimon goes over to your friend and says, you know what happened by the chasana? This and this and this and this and that happened. A little bit of a different version. So you heard one version of what happened, and your friend heard a different version of what happened. Neither of you were there, and neither of you know for sure that anything happened. But you heard one version of what happened, your friend heard a different version of what happened. And the next day you're both in the dining room together. And somebody walks over to you, and says, I heard that by the chasana, such and such happened, because that person heard from your friend. And you say, no, that's not what happened. I'll tell you what happened. What happened is my way. And he says, no, but I heard it happen this way. No, what happened is the way I heard it. I was like, you aren't there. You don't know which story is true. You don't know that the story that you heard is true and the story that he heard is not true. Maybe the story that you heard is not true and the story that he heard is true. This is my sin b'chalim. I've heard tenth arguments break out over people fighting over what happened, and neither of them are there, each one assuming that the version that Dave Mikra heard first must be the right one. It's an unbelievable ha'ara in the psychology of a person. That what a person hears first has a hashrasha, is rooted inside of him, and everything else that he hears is based on that first thing. So if I hear a story and then I hear the story differently, that can't be true because this is true. Why is this true? Because it was first. And that's not really fair. Memela zok the altar. That's why a dayan can't hear the story from one baldin if the other baldin is not there. It's to try to be makariv as much as possible, because he says it's impossible for a dayan to speak to someone about something that happened, and then that person leaves and another person comes, and to hear the story, and not to be biased towards the first, but that the first person was telling the truth and the second one is lying. That is the way the psychology of a person works. Anybody who's been in unfortunate situations of lashon haras, rumors, machloiksin, and anyone who's been privy to his tremendous tsar, to such situations, knows that people are biased to the first story they heard. There's no reason for it. People are biased to the first story they heard, without any seichel logic at all. There's a tremendous power to it, in chinuch, a tremendous power that we should make sure to be very careful to teach our children very good first stories. The first thing our children should hear is that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there's Tov and Ra, there's Schar Ve'Einesh, Hashem is good to us. But Rabbi said, you don't know how hard it is, or you do know how hard it is, sometimes to uproot those little false impressions that we got about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, about ourselves, about Hashem's feelings towards us. Sometimes people could spend years trying to uproot that Hashrasha HaKaduma. It's not so easy. Just say, oh, you thought this until now? No, 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 it's not true. This is what's true. No, no, no. Once a person thought something, to him that's the truth. It takes a lot of work to change it. Zok the Alter. Torah is the das of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He says this in three words I'm about to say. I think maybe he doesn't even say it at all. Yeah, no, he does. Seven words. Torah is the das of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's the truth. It's the objective truth. It's 100% true. The hashkafa of the Torah, the philosophy of the Torah, the derech of the Torah, the angle of the Torah is the truth, and anything else is not the truth. We sometimes learn Torah with our own understandings, with our own hashrasha hakadum, our own impressions of things, of what's good and what's not good, what's pleasant and what's not pleasant, what's happy and what's not happy, and so on. And through those glasses we learn Torah. That's a mistake. We have to learn to be mevatel our das to the Torah, that we're being mekayim when we learn Torah, to know that this is absolute truth. Everything else has to be built based on that. Ein ha-Torah miskayemes. Torah does not establish itself. Elo b'misha meimis atzmai oleha. You have to be meimis atzmai. The atzmai, my own impressions, feelings. Meimis atzmai. In other words, there is no philosophy, hashkafa, sense of right and wrong, moral prerogatives, besides what it says in the Torah. There is no such a thing. I'll give you a mashal that for us maybe will be a little bit distant, but sometimes we can see things clearly when it's outside of ourselves, because we're a little bit subjective to our own hashkafas. Let's say I would have grown up in a home that everyone in the house is vegetarian. And the reason that they're vegetarian is because it's cruel to kill animals. They would have grown up in that such a home. So I would grow up, and my hashrasha hakaduma would be that it's cruel to kill animals. And I would learn in Torah, and I would learn Shulchan Aruch, and I would learn Gemara. And while I would find tremendous sensitivity to animals in the Torah, in the way we shecht an animal, it should be as painless as possible, and so on. But I would see that killing animals for the purpose of eating is 100% acceptable, and in many cases a mitzvah. And there's a bracha on Shechita. Can't be a bad thing. The conflict is a result of Hashrasha Hakaduma. The goal would be a person has to be Mamis Atzmai. He has to kill his old Hashkafas. He has to kill his perspective. What's coming from himself and not from the Torah, he has to destroy. He has to teach himself that no, if the Torah says it's not bad to kill animals, then it's not bad to kill animals. Even though every bone in his body is crying, you know, homicide. It's not bad to kill animals. Maybe the way to do it is to understand the Svara behind it, to try to be Darish V'chayger, what the Svara are. I'm not saying that it should be blind or cruel. But the goal, the Divrei Torah is Miskayim B'Misha, Mamis Atzmai, that a person asks himself, is something bothering me here because I just have false impressions because I grew up in America, so I just got a false sense of things? Is that why it's bothering me? Is my feelings of lack of horror when I hear the news about something just because I grew up with it, but really, if I would be, just have the Torah sensitivities, I would be horrified beyond belief? Or is my being merachik this person just because of what I grew up with, that the people who are like this or like that are not l'chatchila for me to hang around with, and the Torah says that I dafka should, and I dafka should be close to some people? Sometimes what we grew up with, sometimes what we're united to, also meets out our guf. This is not independent of what we live. That also comes mitzad our guf, mitzad our, the fact that our personality, our hashkafa, our psyche is not a total reflection of Tov. It's confused. And ein divrei Torah miskayim in ella b'misha meimis atzmai olah. V'lachein amru zal ein haTorah miskayim ella b'misha meimis atzmai olah pirush. Kedei sheyizbatlu hashroshoysav hakedumais mikol v'kol. The oz yechgam heitev liishuray ulaamitay. Then he'll be a true chacham. That's the third angle. Ein adam zoicha b'tayra, ein atayra miskayemes, ella b'misha meimis atzmai oleha, is to realize when I learn Tayra, to learn Tayra with attitude, this is truth. I'm a flat slate. I'm being makabel Torah on a flat slate. I know nothing. I don't have an opinion. What the Torah says, that's true. Now, we are supposed to use our das when we're being done on a sugya. We have to ask a kasha and give a teretz. And if we just go, I'm a flat slate on everything, we won't understand anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when the Torah, when the maskana of the sugya is clear and it doesn't sit well. Or when the hashkafa is clear, but it doesn't sit well. Sometimes, and we should ask. And we should know what's bothering us. But sometimes we should also know why it's bothering us. When we see Gedolim acting a certain way, and it just doesn't make any sense to us. We should ask. We should wonder. Because we have to be honest. But sometimes it's a hashrasha hakaduma. It's our false hashkafa rishayana, because we grew up with the media, with terrible entertainment, with listening to bad hashkafas, with people that are affected by the outside world, and it creates a wrong hashrasha hakaduma. And then when we hear the truth could be hitting us in the face, and we think it's false, because our hashrasha hakaduma is wrong. If we want the Divrei Torah to be miskayim, we have to be meimis atzmai, we have to kill that hashrasha hakaduma. We have to realize that the Torah is an objective truth. We're not at the point that we have to be boicher in the Torah. The Torah is ours, it's an objective truth. And now we have to just open our minds with the yashrus, with the psach libeinu b'sayra secha, just to be makabel the words of Torah. These are three angles on ein haTorah miskayim esel b'mishamim esatzmei oleh that have nothing to do with destroying the guf. And they, I think each one of them has things to that are thought-provoking, something to think about. And mistama, we've said this many times, that if that's this week's kriya, And this week is Parashas Parah, and it's about the Chet HaEgel with Tumas Meis, with Parah Aduma, and in the middle of the whole world of Tumas Meis, we find this Hayra from the Gemara, the Inna Tumas Kemes Al Misha Mei Misatzmei. It means that now is a Zman Mesugel. It's a proper time. It's an appropriate time for us to be Mizvainin a little bit about ways that we could take another step closer to being Mamis Atzmaela and Mamela to having the Torah Miskayamis.
I have a question now. The Hashrasha Rishona, sometimes it affects us in an obvious way where we can tell that this is what's influencing